Well, we are in a series that we're simply calling Why. And we're asking the question, why this? Why am I going through this situation in my life? It doesn't make sense. I don't understand it. I can't explain it. Why is God letting me go through this thing in my life? And if you're not going through one of those, what we're calling hard to understand times in your life, you will. Just hang in there. It will happen eventually. Most of us as Christians have gone through those hard to understand times more than once in our life. And we often ask, why God? Why is this happening? Now, we tend to ask that when we go through physical hard times. For those of you who are visiting our church, one of our wonderful families in our church, Larry and Kathy Phillips are going through a tremendously difficult time, just like that, at least from our perspective. Larry developed cancer. The doctors have given him a limited amount of time to live. He's had two surgeries. He's going through chemo and through radiation now. He's very weak. And we say, why, God? Why? Why did that happen? But there are more than physical hard times that we go through. There are emotional hard times. There are financial hard times. There are relationships. And we say, God, why is this happening? So we're using that phrase, hard to understand, to broaden it beyond just the physical. Why does God let us go through hard to understand times in life? Now, last Sunday, I gave you three possible reasons. The first was to build your hope. Romans chapter 5 says, we glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulations produce perseverance, and perseverance, godly character, and character, hope. Sometimes we go through these hard-to-understand times in life so that our hope in God will become stronger. The second reason we gave was to purify your faith. You remember 1 Peter. Peter talks about our faith being more precious than gold. And he says that just like gold is refined by fire, so our faith is refined, it is purified by testing. God puts us through hard-to-understand times in order to purify our faith. And then thirdly, we looked at last Sunday to help you know Christ better. Sometimes God just puts us through hard-to-understand times to draw us closer to Jesus, just like he did with the Apostle Paul, until Paul could finally come to that place in his life where he wrote in the book of Philippians that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings. And that's the place God wants to bring us, that we would know him better. Now, I said that we're going to look at three reasons again today, but I've cut it down to two because I want to spend a little more time on each of these. And then next Sunday, we'll wrap it up with three more reasons. So this next one is really reason number four. We had three last Sunday. This is really reason number four. Why this? Why does God put me through this in my life? And that is to glorify God. There's an interesting story over in John chapter 9. I'm going to ask you to take your Bible and turn there this morning to the Gospel of John and the 9th chapter. If you're using your Pew Bible, you'll find that on page 722. In John chapter 9, Jesus and his disciples are going through Jerusalem, and John says, as Jesus passed by, he saw a man who was blind from birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, neither this man nor his parents sinned, but that the works of God should be revealed in him. Now, the understanding of many Jewish people at this time in history was that sin was the cause of suffering. Now, before we get too critical of the Jewish people, we think that in our minds often. How many times have you suffered and you have said, God, why are you doing this to me? What did I do wrong? How did I sin? It could have been even be the sin of the parents, or even the sin of the person. There's some evidence that points to the fact that Jewish people believed that a person could sin before they were born. So the disciples said, "Who sinned? This man." Now remember, he's been born blind since birth, so he had to sin before birth. "This man or his parents, that he was born blind." Now we're going to see before we finish our study that hard to understand times in life can be because of sin in our lives, but that is not always the case. And it wasn't the case here. This man was born blind not because of any sin he had committed, not because of any sin his parents had committed. But Jesus says, so the works of God can be revealed in him. And in the process of the works of God being revealed, which was the work of healing by Jesus, then God would receive the glory. And that's exactly what happened. If you continue reading the story, and it goes on for 38 verses, all the way to the end of the chapter, there's a debate between the Pharisees, the religious leaders, and this man. And it's over the fact that a sinful person could never do the miracles that Jesus did, which means that Jesus was who he said he was, the Son of God. And in verse 16, it says, others said, "How can a man who is a sinner do such signs?" You see, he had done this on the Sabbath. And the Pharisees said, anyone who works on the Sabbath is sinning. And their response is, how can a man who is a sinner do such signs? It's a good question. As they continued to question the man, he continually pointed to Jesus. In fact, that impressed me as I read through this again this week. In verse 11, when the people asked him how he could see, he said it was a man called Jesus. In verse 13, when the Pharisees asked him, he said he, that is Jesus, did it. In verse 17, when they asked, well, what's your opinion of Jesus? He said he's got to be at least a prophet. In verse 27, when they continued to press him, his response was, oh, you want to become one of his disciples, which really riled them. In verse 33, he said this about Jesus, if this man were not from God, he could do nothing. Talk about God being glorified. Over and over again, this miracle resulted in Jesus being glorified. In this man pointing to Jesus. Now here's how all of this relates to us. When we go through hard to understand times in life, there is the very real possibility that God puts you through that particular time in your life so that in some way God can be glorified. And that can take different forms. Perhaps God will be glorified when you're delivered from the situation, just like this man. Perhaps God will be glorified as you handle your problem in a godly way and other people see you handle it in a godly way and they can't figure that out. And you can tell them it's because of Jesus. Perhaps God will be glorified when you grow in your faith. And you become a stronger Christian because of that hard-to-understand time that you're going through. Perhaps God will be glorified when you speak up like this man and you point people to Jesus. It won't always be the same for everyone. But what can be the same for all of us is when we go through hard-to-understand times, God can be glorified in our lives. Now, there's another reason that God puts us through these hard-to-understand times in life, and that is to keep your perspective right. Perspective is an interesting thing. Perspective refers to our point of view. It's how we look at things. Ultimately, it's how we look at life. most people don't think much about perspective. They just sort of go through life, and their perspective is based on the last thing that happened to them. If the last thing that happened to them was good, they have a positive perspective. If the last thing that happened to them was bad, they have a negative perspective. Christians are to have a certain perspective in life that goes beyond what's happening to us. In fact, our perspective isn't supposed to even be based on the current events in our lives, but upon eternal events. We're supposed to have an eternal perspective. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. In your pew Bible, it's page 778. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, the Apostle Paul is describing what it was like to serve God. And he says, beginning in verse 8 of that chapter, "We are hard-pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Always carrying about in our body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our body. For we who live are always delivered to death for Jesus' sake, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh." Paul makes an interesting statement. He says in verse 8, we are perplexed, but not in despair. Perplexed simply means he didn't understand. He didn't know what to make of all of the problems he was going through. He didn't know how to understand them. He didn't know why. And then he says in verse 16, "Therefore, we do not lose heart. Even though our outward man, this body that we live in, is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we do not look at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal." Do you see Paul's perspective in that passage? Paul's going through many difficult times. He feels like he's literally dying. He says, our outward man is perishing. One commentator said that Paul was referring to the natural aging process that we all go through, but that his trials speeded up that process. Paul says four things in this text that show his perspective on hard-to-understand times in life. The first thing he tells us is that it's all about our spiritual growth. He says in verse 16, even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. The outward man is our physical being. It's our bodies. It's our minds. It's who we think we are. The inward man is our spiritual being. It's who we are in Christ. It's who we will be for eternity. And while the outward man is dying, and sometimes the hard-to-understand times in life speed up that process, what's really important is that our inward man is growing. It is being renewed day by day. Our spiritual growth, that spiritual maturing process that is constantly going on, so that every day we become more and more like Jesus, that's what he's talking about. Life with all of its hard-to-understand times is not about the comfort of our physical bodies. Somebody asked me the other day how old I was. And I said, I know I look like I'm 45. At which Christian Leinbach, who happened to be present, almost gagged. You see this aging process, and what's turning a little bit gray are because of the hard-to-understand times in life, the difficulties we go through, that aging process, which is accelerated because we go through difficult times. Don't worry, all you kids, young teenagers who are here, someday you'll look as bad as this. You already look this bad. But that's not what to worry about. What we need to be concerned about is the spiritual process. Are we becoming more like Jesus? Are we being renewed in our spirit? Life for the Christian is not about the gray hairs and the aging process and the growing old. Life for the Christian is about our spiritual growth. That's what's important. We need to have the right perspective. It's about our spiritual growth. The second thing that Paul tells us is that afflictions are nothing. Now, if you're going through a really hard time, I know this is a hard one to swallow. He calls them our light afflictions in verse 17. I said this several weeks ago when we looked at this passage. Paul is not making light of what you're going through, and I'm not trying to make light of what you're going through either. He's just trying to keep it all in perspective. In comparison to what is to come, what we go through in this life cannot compare. Now, I know that you won't fully comprehend that until you get there, but when you get there, you will. What's to come is going to be so much better, so much greater, so much more miraculous, so much more wonderful that it will make the hard-to-understand times in life seem like nothing. Let me tell you something. I tell you things every once in a while is going to happen when you get to heaven, so when you get to heaven, you can come back and tell me I was right. Here's another one, okay? When you get to heaven, you're going to look back and say, why did I get so upset about that? Just keep that in the back of your mind. In heaven, you come and tell me I was right, okay? We're going to look back at all of the hard-to-understand times in life, all of the trials in life, and we're going to say, why did I get so upset about that? Look at this. You see, the things that we go through in this life are only momentary. They're but for a moment in the context of eternity. Well, Paul's third perspective, or the third thing he says that shows us his perspective, is the reward will be greater. Verse 17, our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. The afflictions that we go through in this life, listen, if we handle them in a godly way, are working for us. And what they will do for us, Paul says, he calls it a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. That word weight refers to a heavy load. And in this case, it's a good heavy load. Let me give you a couple other translations of this verse. The NIV says, for our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. J.B. Phillips was an old Englishman. You know, we have so many translations around today that we can't keep track of them, but back in the 1950s and the 1960s, it was the King James Bible, and then there was J.B. Phillips, and then the New American Standard Bible came out. But J.B. Phillips was one of the first men to try to, his was more of a paraphrase, if you will, but he did a pretty good job, and often his translation are clear. And he translated it this way, these little troubles, which are really so transitory, but for a moment, are winning for us a permanent, glorious, and solid reward out of all proportion to our pain. He sort of hits the nail on the head right there. The English Standard Version says, "For this light momentary affliction is preparing us for an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison." Do you see? Beyond all comparison. Out of proportion to all of our pain, far outweighs them all. Our perspective needs to be on the reward and not on the problem. And yet we get it twisted around. And our perspective, when we go through those things in life that we can't explain, our perspective is all on the problem. The reward is going to be so much greater than the problem, there will not be a comparison. The fourth part of Paul's perspective is it's all temporary. He's already said there for a moment, and then he goes on to say in verse 18, "While we do not look at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal." The things that are seen are the things that you're going through in life. They're the problems. They're the trials. They're the afflictions. They're the hard-to-understand times. And they are temporary. Our perspective is to be on the things that we cannot see because they are eternal. Whatever you're going through, even for Brother Larry, that's temporary. Does it hurt? Yes, it hurts. Is it hard to go through? Absolutely, it's hard to go through. But it's temporary. Don't treat the hard-to-understand times as if they are eternal. They are not. So here's Paul's perspective on the hard-to-understand times. They are about spiritual growth. They are nothing compared to eternity. The reward will be greater than what we're going through. They are temporary, not permanent. And if we could just get a hold of that perspective, if we could just adopt that perspective, because that's the perspective God wants us to have. Sometimes God brings hard to understand things into our lives to change our perspective, because he looks at us and he says, "You're not matching up. You're forgetting about your spiritual growth. You're focused on the temporary and not the eternal. You're forgetting the reward. You're forgetting that it's going to be different down the road." Without going through difficult times, it's doubtful that our perspective would ever change. Hard to understand times in life aren't always pleasant, but there are reasons that God brings them into our lives. He does it to glorify God. And if that is the reason, then use it to point people to Jesus. It might be to help you keep your perspective. And if that's the reason that God brings something into your life, then allow God to do that work in your life and change you. Many times when we go through hard-to-understand times in life, at least initially, and sometimes even at the end, we don't know why God does it. And if you're at that place and you say, "God, I don't know why you brought this into my life. I don't understand it. I can't explain it. I don't see the reason." Then you ask God to work in your life his will, to do whatever he wants to do in your life, to change you any way he wants to change you. And if it pleases him to reveal to you why you're going through this in your life. You know, back in the days of the American Revolution, there were there was a belief that was quite widespread that God created the world, spun it off into space, and then God took a vacation. They're called deists. To the best of our information, Benjamin Franklin was a deist. He didn't believe that God was involved in the daily events of our lives. God was too busy for that, too important for that, perhaps. Can I assure you that God is involved in the events of our life, that God doesn't do anything just for no reason, that God didn't send that into your life and then take a vacation, that He is actively working in each of our lives to change us? Hard to understand times in our lives don't just happen for no reason. They happen very much for a reason. Ask God what that is. Ask God not only to show you what that is, but ask God to change you in whatever way He needs to change you. Let's pray together. Father, all of us in life will go through hard to understand times, probably more than once, maybe on a regular basis. And Lord, we do complain and we ask Your forgiveness for our complaining spirits. Our prayer is that You would help us, first of all, to handle the hard to understand times in a godly way. And then, if it's Your will, that You would reveal to us why we're going through that. And even if You don't, that You would change us and that we would work with You and that we would want to change and that we would do what's necessary to change so that You can use us. Father, if You have brought something hard to understand into our lives today so that God can be glorified, we praise You for that and we ask that You would glorify Him in a magnificent way. If You have brought hard to understand times into our lives to change our perspective, then God, change us. Help us to get the right perspective, even as the Apostle Paul, that we might have a godly perspective, an eternal perspective. Lord, that we might point people to Jesus, even as the blind man pointed people to Jesus. We pray all this in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen.